got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all. Well, you ought to give the Lord a real hand of praise. Amen, 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 amen. Would you get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the Lord and His Word? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this word you've prepared for us today. We pray that as we hear this word, we hear it not only in our natural hearing, but in our spirit's hearing. Let this word go beyond the flesh and into the spirit. Let us hear and heed what you have to say. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, and verse 11. Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 11. Recorded are these words. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I won't speak from the subject, so you live, so you die. Now, I know you don't like the subject and you might not like the text, but help me preach it. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't care who you are, so you live, so you die, says the word. Now, if you believe that, give God some praise, because it's true. One of the things that's so very helpful in this text for us to understand is how God has called Ezekiel, and he's given Ezekiel an understanding of what is required both of the preacher and to those who are preached to. There is a role and a responsibility as well as a reward on behalf of the preacher of the Word of God and to those who are preached the Word of God. Look at how it starts off. Verse 1 says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coats and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Verse 5 says, listen, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Now, though historically Ezekiel is called to be the watchman of the house of Israel, pragmatically this reality is repeated in every generation and in every people and in every time. In other words, when you say that you've been called by God to be a preacher, pastor, evangelist, witness, whatever, and God has called you to be a watchman, it means then that you are accountable to God, but you're accountable for the people God placed you over. Now, you got a whole lot of people like to be in the spotlight and the limelight, and they like to be in front of people and say, the Lord said this and the Lord said that. But here's what God is saying to him. He say, it ain't all that it's cracked up to be. There are some things that you will be held accountable for. And he says, so you need to be careful. But then he's saying to the people, you need to be, because he said, when they get a man out of their own coast, it means it's someone that they know, someone that they trust, someone that they know will do their job. You got to be careful who you put over you. You see, just because one can say it don't mean he'll say it. Just because one can see it don't mean he'll say it. But when he comes from God and he hears from God, then he's under obligation by God to say what God told him to say, regardless of how he or she feels about the message. You see, that's what you got to understand. So many times, Jeremiah had to weep because he didn't want to tell Israel. Ezekiel sat in the place where the people of God sat for 7 days astonished, because the problem was that the priest didn't deliver the true word that God had given to the people. So the people were in error because the priests were in error in delivering the proper word of God. And all of that messed Ezekiel up, because Ezekiel wanted God to destroy him, or them rather, because they were not obeying the word. But the truth of the matter is, they were taught the wrong way. They were taught the wrong things. And so he was astonished and amazed at what had happened. So God says, listen, I don't want you to go in there and act like they did. I want you to give them the same message. I just want you to change your methods. And so sometimes you've got to understand, and that's one of the reasons why God doesn't give one preacher to all the world. He says, I give you pastors according to mine own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. But they are connected to the soul or the spirit of the people that God places them over. There is a way God matches the people with the pastor. That's why if you're in the wrong place, the message will not resonate like it ought to resonate in the spiritual part, in the under part of your being. You might hear it, but it don't really mean the same way. Sometimes people can't connect with you because they ain't supposed to connect with you. Everybody can cook some chicken, but they don't necessarily cook it the same way. And you might not like it all the same way, but when you're at the right place, it's just like you like it because they know how you like it, and everything goes well in that case. And here's what God is making you understand. You are responsible when you sit in that pew to hear what thus said the Lord through the man of God, because it is God's way of warning you of danger. In other words, when God gives the message to the messenger, it's not for the messenger, it is for the messenger to give to the people. But the messenger might say, well, no, if I give this word, Lord, some might get mad with me. They might not like the subject matter. They might think I'm picking on them. They might think, you know, I heard something about them, so I'm preaching what I done heard about them, or I'm this, that, the other. Lord said, listen, that ain't your concern. If it comes from me, give it to them. Let them deal with the fact that I know them better than they know themselves. And so some preachers won't preach the truth because it's not popular. Some preachers won't stand up against the ills of our day because it's unpopular. It's politically incorrect. It's not what should be said. Now, here is what I'm obligated to do, to say what thus said the Lord. And if it doesn't make, you know, you smile, I'm sorry, I'm not an entertainer. I'm not here to make you smile. If it don't make you laugh, I'm sorry. If it don't do this for you, I'm sorry. As a matter of fact, you can hear it and get mad with me and cuss on your way out the door. That ain't my issue. As long as I take the word the way God has given me the word and disseminate that word as he has given me the ability to disseminate that word, and you get the word, what you do with the word is on you. But look at what he says. He says, if I show you that danger is coming and you get up on the wall, and you see it, because watchmen were on the wall and they were walled cities all the way around, and watchmen would watch a certain geographical area. And when they see anything in that sector coming, they had a trumpet and they would turn around to the city and blow that trumpet. All right, everybody know when they heard the trumpet blow, I don't care what the notes were, trouble was on the other side of the wall. All right. Now, it don't matter, I want to throw this out for you preachers too, whether or not you can blow the horn the way people like to hear the horn blow. You just need to blow the horn. Some of it can blow it with such beautiful notes. Or you can just, oh, I love to hear him blow his horn. You sit up there and die because you like to hear the sweet moan and the beautiful tone. And it's all about warning you of danger. And anything happens to you, it's on you, because you should have been getting yourself together when you heard the first note of the horn being blown. But if the preacher decides, the watchman decides, that he's not going to blow the horn yet, and the enemy sneaks in and destroys the people, listen to this, then any person who dies, no matter how great or small, they die in their sin, but the blood is required at your hand. Now let me tell you how I feel about that. I've not been, and I know you'll find this hard to believe, but I've not been perfect all my days. And I might have one or two things to answer for. But I promise you it ain't going to be because I didn't tell you what thus said the Lord. That's not going to be added to what I've got to answer for. No, I'm not going to be guilty of not delivering the message because you might get mad and stop tithing. You might get mad and stop giving in the pastor's love offering. You might get mad and decide you want to go to another church. You might get mad you know, and sit up there with a prune looking face at me like that's going to scare me from saying what thus saith the Lord. No, I might have them to pass you a mint or something, because what's bad is in you, not from up here. You smelling something bad, that's out of your own character. You can get mad all you want, that won't change, because God has sent a word for you to hear to make a difference in your life. And so I'm cognizant of it. Every preacher, every person who's been called to preach ought to be cognizant of it, because God has placed you here with the ability to reach out and share with them. Listen, people are so busy living life that they don't see trouble right in front of their faces. The watchman is elevated so he can see above and be able to spot trouble when he sees it. He knows what he's looking for. More than that, he knows when he gets a direct message from God that it is a message to be presented without delay. In other words, I'm not supposed to cut it up and fix it up and pace it up and water it down and sugar it up and change it so that it'll be palatable for you. But I'm supposed to sound it loud enough so that you will know that danger is on the way. So when I warn you of the ills of our day and time and tell you, you need to stop this, you need not do this, whatever it is God is speaking and whatever God is saying, here's what the problem is. Listen, you don't really have a problem with me saying it unless you don't want to do it. See, now you're not smoking crack and all the rest of that stuff. I talk about, you know, all you crack smoking and so forth, that stuff, tell you about it, blah, 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 you shouldn't do that. You wouldn't want, you say, preach, pastor. Because you ain't one of them. You know, when I talk about, a gambler, you know, you play the lottery and you go on the boat and you do all this in, you know, all that undercover gambling and all the rest of that stuff and robbing God of his tithes and all of that, and you don't do that, you're about, preach, old pastor preaching today. But then when I start talking about those of you who sip and get a little tips, and now I'm starting to come closer. You know, you can't even drink coffee without putting some of it in your coffee. You can't drink orange juice now. You got to have gin and juice. You can't even drink a Coke by itself. It ain't no longer the real thing. It's Coke and Crown or whatever. Y'all don't get here quiet acting like. Then you start, Then when I start talking about fornication and adultery or this or that and the other, and then all the rest of the day, see, that's the problem right there. He can't never stay on target. He got to go messing with people's business. See, everybody can say amen as long as it ain't in their area of concern. But listen, when God wants to reach you, he uses, listen, somebody sometime who don't know anything about you to help you realize that it was nobody but God that said that to you. Wasn't with you last night, last week, whenever. I don't know what you did, but God does. Like, how did he know that? I didn't. I just said what thus said the Lord. And so many times God shows up, you could have just had that conversation. You could have just had that experience. You know good and well that whenever you did what you did with whoever you did it with, they didn't even have time to tell nobody. But God knew it and he spoke it. And you were sitting right here in church and knew God was speaking to you. Now here's what you do. You do something about it and say, Lord, I repent. Or you do nothing about it and get mad with the preacher. Either way, you're going to have the effects of what's said. Obey, be blessed. Disobey, be cursed. but the blood won't be on my head. Because I didn't warn some young man, some young woman from their wicked ways. Because I didn't tell somebody that God's way is the right way. Because I didn't share with them that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so my brothers and sisters, he's saying to Ezekiel, listen, you've got a job to do. And I want to make sure that you do this in a way that the people are blessed by. So I'm going to show you with you very quickly what I want you to see in the text. Because God says, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Now, first thing I want you to look at is the desire of God. Because God is making clear to Ezekiel that Ezekiel might make clear to the people that I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
That's it.
No pleasure. God does not enjoy seeing the wicked die and spend eternity in hell. God did not design creation to end up in this situation. But he gave them a free will and they made some choices. And listen at this, the reason God wants the watchman to say what thus saith the Lord is that God wants to warn every man, every woman, every girl, every boy from the evils of the enemy and change them so that they will in the end up in glory with him and not in hell with Satan. He wants to give them the opportunity at every turn to make a good decision, a better decision, to straighten up a wrong decision. He wants them to understand that no, you're not perfect and you won't make every decision the right way outside of him. But when you come to yourself, like the prodigal son who did it his way, only after finding out his way was not the right way, when he came to himself, he left the place that he was in, the hog's pen, and went back home where his father was waiting with arms stretched wide open. Imagine what the devil tried to put in his mind. Man, ain't no sense in going back home because your dad ain't gonna be able to receive you now after you've done this, after you've lost all your money, you don't even look the same, etc. Imagine the trick the enemy was trying to play on his mind as to how it would be when he got back home. He would be disenfranchised. He would be disrespected, disregarded. On and on and on. But when he got back, his father recognized him and ran toward him and fell on his neck and kissed his face. Totally different from what he thought was going to happen. When the devil tried to put in his mind, if he went back home, things would be worse. But see, that's what God wants you to know. When you miss it, he's the last one that wants you to miss it. So even when you miss it and get to the point where you want to get it back together and get it right, he's the first one who wants you to get it together. And he's your biggest cheerleader, and he is your biggest supporter, and he's your biggest believer, and you can turn your life around. God's desire is that he gets no pleasure out of the wicked dying and going to hell. He makes it clear. He is a God of love. And because he's not a cruel God, an evil God, who looks forward to us messing up, making one mistake, slipping on a banana peel, dying and going to hell. He's not a God that set up things to make you miss it and mess up or set standards so high that you could never ever reach it. Because of all of these issues, we could say was the issue he gave his son Jesus the Christ to become everything that we are not and to be able to do everything we could not, so that all we would have to do is accept him and begin to live according to his word, his will, and his way. And he, by his own power, through the Holy Ghost, would strengthen us. That's why the devil don't want you to get in the word and strengthen your spiritual man. Because the stronger your spirit man becomes, the weaker your flesh becomes. But the stronger your flesh becomes, the weaker your spirit man becomes, because you're not spending any time building up the spirit man with spiritual food and sustenance that the spirit man needs. So you wonder, why does this always happen to me? Because you've not taken the right precautions. You don't have the right power and or person to be able to give you the strength and the ability to be victorious in that situation. And that's the word. And that's Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost collectively working. Jesus in heaven on the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. The Holy Ghost right here, available, present, active, ready to be what you need him to be. So there's no excuse other than, I don't want to do better. I don't want to do right. No such thing as I can't. With the word of God and the spirit of God, Paul put it this way, I can do. Now that was a time I couldn't say all things, but I can do all things. Here it is, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that word strengtheneth means a continual flow of power. I don't need all of that power here. What I need is this amount right here. But he gives me this. But when I get to the next level and I need more power, he kicks up the power level and gives me more power. When I go up here and I need more power here, he kicks up the power level and gives me more power. In other words, every time I need power to be victorious in a situation through Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost gives me what I need so I can be successful. And then the word is clear because it talks about the death of the wicked. Now verse promises the death of the wicked, and it's going to happen. You know, wicked folk may rise to power and they may rule the world, and it may be sooner or later they're going to die. And when they die, they're going to face a real hell. You know, you need to be careful about who you emulate in this world. Money ain't everything. You know, if you know, like many folk who don't have all the money they'd like to have or have a shortage of money, they think that money will solve all of their problems. But so far is that from the truth. It's important to understand that money plays a role and a part and has a place, but it is never valuable to God more than a soul. Jesus put it this way, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? He asked the question, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? But the more important question is, or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? He got all the money in the world. That don't get it for him. Now, the next question is, what can he give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. And so one day, the rich and the powerful and all of those who are right now heading the list of Forbes, rich and famous, et cetera, and all the rest of that. And it would be nice to be on that list. I ain't gonna lie. But my question is, can I be on that list for the right reason? Can I be on that list because I'm serving God and doing the right thing and living the life the way I'm supposed to so I can be an example to somebody else? Can I be on the list because that's where God's children ought to be, on that list? But I got news for you. If I can't get on Forbes' list, I'm so blessed to know that I'm on Jesus' list, the Lamb of Life list. Because when it's all said and done, that's the list that's really going to count. When it's time to leave this world, ain't nobody going to care nothing about you being on Forbes' list of 500
most richest, influential. Everybody gonna care nothing about that. Burning in hell. Matter of fact, Forbes might be down there too hollering. You remember the rich man and Lazarus?